Welcome to The Harvest, Atlanta's home for information and inspiration for living your season of life with grace. Brought to you by Senior Provisions, your resource for true solutions in senior care. From life planning to home care to assisted living, Senior Provisions is your trusted resource in navigating the harvest season of your life. Now, here's your hosts, Hans and Amy.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to The Harvest. We're so glad you're able to join us today. We hope that today's show is informative and inspiring and gives great pleasure to our Lord. I'm Hans, and I am seated next to my bride, Amy.
Oh, good morning. Here's the banter part.
Oh, the insert banter.
insert banter here.
Hopefully.
I said to him yesterday, I already know what I'm going to talk about and banter with you about. So if you're listening and it's middle of August, this will be not very applicable to you. Not for you. But if you're listening this Saturday, it's cold. It is really, really cold.
Yeah. She thought this was banter worthy to talk about the weather.
It's kind of the example of what is not banter worthy. Well, I just want to point out that in 1999, we suffered through a major blizzard in Champaign, Urbana, Illinois.
Yes.
As you were finishing graduate school.
The Fighting Illini.
Well, I'll tell you what I was fighting. I was fighting the blizzard, and I came home and I looked at him and I said, I don't care where we go after you graduate, but it has to be somewhere warmer. And here we are in Atlanta.
And I said, yes, ma'am.
Yes. And we're like, sure, Atlanta looks good.
Well, what you must know, too,
Why is it so cold here, though?
About central northern Illinois, all the state, really, of Illinois, is it's incredibly flat. And if there's any snow, it stays cold enough for that snow to hang around, and it is constantly blowing over the roads.
Absolutely. There were times where you didn't know where the road was and where the ditch was. And I'm glad I never found the ditch, but it was pretty bad. So I'm glad to be in Atlanta, even though it is really cold. And if it's this cold, we need snow.
Yeah, we'll be the only ones in this town to say that. But yeah, there's no reason for it to be this cold and not have snow.
I know.
Enjoy.
It's all up north. Well, okay. So we diverged. Diverged. We bantered. Okay, so
sure.
The bantering part of the show is over.
thank the Lord.
Okay.
So today's a special program. We have a special guest joining us today, Patricia Amari. She's the owner and founder of the Amari Firm. And she is here today to discuss elder law and, in particular, the top documents that everyone needs to have in their trove of preparatory documents for aging.
I almost want to go dun-dun-dun because it is. This is like the key elder law information today. So if you're listening, make sure you get a piece of paper out to take some notes. And we are so tell us more about Patricia.
Well,
sorry.
Yeah, please. She's been a caregiver herself, and she understands firsthand the challenges of the aging process and how the challenges also are carried over to their families. And she endeavors to give quality legal advice while treating each of her clients as though they were her own family.
Love that.
Yes. And she's a graduate of the University of Alabama and then continued on at the Georgia State University College of Law. And she is currently serving on the board of the Georgia chapter of the National Academy of Elder Law Attorneys, otherwise known as NALA.
Is that how you say it, NALA?
No.
NALA. Okay, good. I love that.
And you can find her on the weekends frequenting the soccer fields, cheering on her children. And she has a husband, two children, and her business, and they reside in East Cobb. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here and talk to you guys.
You're one of my favorite people. We've only been kind of working together really just more recently. But when we met with Darby at your office, I just left and I just said to Darby, I said, I would trust her with any one of our clients. So I'm so happy to have you on the show as well.
Thank you so much.
Well, let me grab the script here. Hans is hogging it. Hans has said a little bit about you, but tell us a little bit more about just kind of your journey into your career that you've chosen and really what drew you into elder law specifically.
Right. So I was one of those who knew that I wanted to be a lawyer very early on. Like in fifth grade, I decided I'm going to be a lawyer.
Wow.
And at different times through the years, it was for different reasons, and I was going to practice different types of law. And right before I got really serious in my studies, I remember having a conversation with my pastor's wife, and she was like, "Who do you think put that desire there?" And it was such a moment.
Wow.
And so, you know, I started out practicing in the law, and I was a litigator, and because I had to be in a courtroom, you know, I thought that was what the law was. Turns out litigators don't actually go to court very often in real life. But after a time, I began to think about, you know, making a change, and then my mom got sick, and all of a sudden, I was an elder law attorney, like it or not, because you're always going to take care of your family and do, you know, what mm-hmm. you need to do for them. And so, as a result of that, I came into elder law and saw that there was a need there, I brought a special, it kind of brought the heart to it. Before that, I was thinking about it for other reasons, mm-hmm. business reasons and those types of things, but that really brought the heart to it and also kind of gave me the kick in the pants that I needed to get in that area. And, you know, it sort of brought something good out of a very bad situation mm-hmm. with my mom's illness. So now I'm able to help others and, you know, there's that scripture that talks about all things work together for those, you know, who love the Lord, who work for good. And this is an opportunity for something bad to turn into something good.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Well, I'm going to share a trade secret, but it's really one of those litmus tests that we have. I mean, we're so entrusted, as you are, with your referrals to other partners in the community. And one of our litmus tests is, you know, what brought you into whatever it is, whatever service you provide to seniors, because it's such a vulnerable group. And there's all these business reasons to be interested in reaching that group. And so it's really one of those things that we filter. It's like, okay, so why are you in this? And to hear that, you know, the firsthand personal effort and experience that you've had with your loved one is really one of those things that we look to hear, is that you are personally engaged in this for very good reasons.
Absolutely. Our clients need the information. But as you know, when they're going through a crisis point, it's very emotional. I say, you know, oftentimes you have to repeat things multiple times and in different ways because they're not actively listening. They are distracted. They are distraught. They are exhausted. They're upset because of family dynamics going on. And to sit and across from someone who's walked in those shoes and understands that, you know, this is sometimes not easy information to process. They need someone they can trust. They need someone who's knowledgeable, but they really need someone who knows what they have gone, what they were going through. So that, I love that. And Hans, you're absolutely right. I mean, that's how we vet our partners. And so tell me a little bit just about the general services that you offer. What encompasses elder law?
Absolutely. I love to talk to folks about it because so many folks don't understand what that means. But elder law encompasses estate planning. So your wills, trusts, powers of attorney, advanced directives. It also deals with elder care. And what that means is helping families find ways to pay for that long-term care that might go along with a diagnosis like dementia or Parkinson's, for example, and also guardianship. So sometimes as folks age, they are no longer able to make reasonable, responsible, significant decisions for themselves. And so sometimes I help families go to court and get the opportunity to take care of them in that way. Mm-hmm. And then also probate. So after someone passes, I assist with that process. And I also help families with family members with special needs.
Yeah.
Yeah, so special needs planning.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, family dynamics have changed. You know, we've got a lot of remarriages going on. We've got kind of new definitions of family out there. And so navigating through all of that, and I always say, everyone says, oh, well, I had an attorney make up my will. And I'll say, you know, if you haven't had it reviewed lately, number one, and second of all, having an elder law attorney review, I mean, your considerations are, you know, looking at, are there veterans benefits available to pay for care? What are the long-term Medicaid impact? And you know, being proactive in those areas, just a regular kind of attorney may not have that full knowledge. And so I think a benefit of going with an elder law attorney is having that full understanding of how everything is connected and how the decisions you're making now can impact resources that you have access to later on.
That is absolutely true. Absolutely true. So estate planning attorneys, which are just attorneys, you know, that are dealing with estate planning, but not with that elder focus, the documents that they do are going to be different than the documents, the same documents that an elder law attorney would do, because they're going to be asking you different questions and they're going to be looking at the different things that you might need. And so wills are not set them and forget them.
Yeah, I love that. So we kind of teased a little bit. And before we go to break, I want to just kind of just for everyone to kind of start to take some notes. What are the top three documents that everyone needs? Can you name those for us?
Yes, I would say a will at the very least, a power of attorney, and an advance directive.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. And then when we come back from break, we're going to go into greater detail about those three documents, what they are, how they're used. And as always, you can go to our Senior Provisions website to get and submit any of your senior care questions as well.
My dad grew up during the Depression, served his country, worked hard, and always took care of us. Now he needs care, and I can't do it alone. I made the mistake of looking online for help. Suddenly, my inbox was full and my phone was ringing off the hook with salespeople. I even spoke with a nice young girl who clearly knew as little about senior care as I did. She was already setting up tours to see facilities before she knew anything about my dad. To make things worse, his private information was shared with everyone. After hearing my nightmare, a neighbor told me to call Senior Provisions.
Senior Provisions believes that you and your dad deserve better. Our experienced advisors will spend the time to understand your needs and provide true solutions while protecting your privacy. Now that is true advocacy. We are Senior Provisions, helping Georgia families find senior care. This is too important to trust to just anyone. Call us today, 888-979-TRUE. 888-979-8783.
Welcome back to The Harvest. Today we are talking about elder law and how we can set up some primary documents so that the law will not win against us. So we are joined to talk about these three documents, the last will and testament, and the power of attorney and advance directives. We've asked Patricia Amari with the Amari firm to join us and talk these documents through, tell us what the important parts are of them and what they do for us. And thank you so much for joining our program.
Absolutely.
And help us
thank
out
you.
With these documents.
Thank you, Hans. I'm glad to be here. So the very first document is the last will and testament, which is commonly referred to as a will. And what the will does is it tells who is going to get your things when you pass. So things like your property. And it's a very important document. The other thing that the will does is it allows you to identify who you want to be in charge of administering your will. And so you get to say up front, you know, amongst your family members or, you know, close friends, who it is that you think would do the best job. And it, you know, cuts down on people arguing later as to who is going to be the person to be in charge of that process. And so that's the first document. The second document and third document are potentially even more important, because while the will take care of things after you have passed, the power of attorney and advance directive are actually going to take care of you during your lifetime. And when you get a will, you should receive a package, and it should include a will, the power of attorney, and the advance directive. The power of attorney is a financial power of attorney, which basically allows you to choose someone who can manage your property for you if you are ever unable to do so in the future. And that document is great to have in place. You want to meet with an attorney rather than just pull a form off of the internet, because there are considerations that you need to take into account when you're identifying who you want that person to be. This sometimes people will think, oh, well, you know, I should pick my oldest child.
Right.
Well, if your oldest child is an artist and your youngest child is a CPA, maybe your youngest child would be the best choice under those circumstances. circumstances.
Well, and I think that gets into some of the power of the questions that are asked that change your perspective of what you think you should naturally do. And you don't get that when you get a form off the internet and just start filling it out. Well, that's going to be the oldest son or oldest daughter or oldest child or whatever. But yeah, it takes that kind of piece of it to draw into perspective what it is you're doing and who you're assigning to do what.
Absolutely. And it is an important document. It's also important to know that in 2017, the state of Georgia basically adopted a wholesale new set of laws when it comes to powers of attorney. I would do powers of attorney for my clients, and then I would have to tell them, because they should have one, but then I would have to tell them there's no law in Georgia that requires anyone to accept it. And that's no longer the case anymore. At least under certain circumstances, you can require an institution or a person to accept a power of attorney, but only if the power of attorney was done after the law was passed and it meets certain requirements. So everyone should really be considering redoing their powers of attorney if they had that beforehand. Mm-hmm. Because one concern that I have is as banks learn that, oh, well, now I have to take these documents, they also learn, oh, I didn't have to take those other documents. And so it may give them a little more leeway to refuse older documents.
Right.
So it's definitely something that you want to revisit. Each person is going to have special considerations that their power of attorney need to cover. So, for example, if you are well off, then your power of attorney document is probably going to need to have more things in there to protect you and is probably going to give less powers. If, on the other hand, you've recently had a diagnosis and there's a possibility that you're going to have trouble paying for your care and may need nursing home care in the future, and Medicaid then might be a possibility for you, you're going to have a power of attorney that provides overreaching powers in order to be able to do all the planning that might be necessary to get you the care that you need. Mm-hmm. So that's why it is so important to not just pull something off the internet, but to actually have a conversation with someone that can kind of help you navigate those things and make sure that you have the document that you need when you need it.
Mm-hmm.
The third document is an advance directive for healthcare. And many folks used to know this as a living will and healthcare power of attorney. But many years ago, the state of Georgia followed the trend nationally and adopted an advance directive law. And so those old documents may still be legal, so I'm not saying those aren't still legal, but the new document that hospitals and doctors are used to seeing, and it's been almost 20 years now that the advance directives have been around, are the advance directive, and that form is what they are used to seeing. So mm-hmm. you want to have it in a form that they're comfortable with. I had someone come from another state and they had me look at their advance directive, and they asked me, was it legal? And I'm like, yes, it was. But they were having a trouble because the institution wouldn't take that document.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, the practical answer is if mom still has capacity, let's give them a document they're going to take.
Right.
So it is, a good thing to update, your documents to the most recent documents.
Well, everyone over the age of 18 should have an advance directive. I know we focus a lot on just senior and senior care, but I'm correct in that. Everyone
absolutely
over 18.
Correct in that. Power of attorney as well, and that's absolutely true. And so that document does three things. It allows you to name a guardian if ever a guardian is necessary. And a guardian is someone who takes care of another person when they're not able to take care of themselves any longer and make decisions for themselves. And the next thing that it does is it allows you to choose an agent who would make decisions for you if you're not able to make those decisions for yourself. And the other thing that it does is that it allows you to say what your end of life decisions would be. So under the circumstance that either you have a terminal condition and are about to die in a very short period, or alternatively are in a permanent vegetable state and are not expected to get better,
mm-hmm.
then under those circumstances, you can choose whether you want to die naturally, whether you want them to do everything and anything they can do to keep mm-hmm. you alive for as long as possible, or a pick and choose between
right.
the two.
And it can be that whole menu of things that could happen, that under these circumstances, I want this level of care prescribed. Under this circumstance, I only want this level of care prescribed. And I think to the point that you all both drove to is these are living documents that need to be revisited on a regular basis, because as you age, your perspective, your assets, all these things change over time. Maybe the person you've put in charge as an agent has made different life choices that you no longer feel they are a good representative of your estate.
I'm thinking about the conversation we had when we did ours, and you were so reluctant. You're like, really? Do we have to do this tonight when we sat down and did our advance directives? Because we talked through it before we went back to the attorney's office to get everything finalized. And I said to him, I said, now, you know, give me a chance before you pull the plug because I'm young, I'm strong. Now, the conversation when we sit down and redo them again, and, you know, we'll have a different conversation probably when we're 60 and definitely when we're 80 and 90 years old, you know, we may have a different perspective on what measures medically we want taken to try to preserve our lives.
That is true. But the thing to remember about advance directives are, particularly in Georgia, we have a very limited circumstance when we're allowed to make those choices. So it really is if you have a terminal condition and are about to die anyway, or it's a permanent vegetable state.
Recently had a client call us and talk through a situation that I'd love to get your opinion on. It has to do with family dynamics and a remarriage, and we have some stepchildren involved. Who just recently got more involved with their father, and they really weren't involved before. And he has pretty moderate to advanced dementia. And they came by to take him out for lunch and actually took him to an attorney's office to sign over all of these rights away from the family member, the wife that he's married to them. And this was kind of all done. And my first question was, who was the attorney that did that? So without necessarily addressing that, because I know you don't have all the details, but can you speak a little bit about families out there that are dealing with more advanced dementia and their parents have not done these preparations? What is the challenge of that as an attorney if you sit down with someone?
Yeah. Well, ideally, I would say that if you have a family member and they receive a diagnosis, it's important to engage in planning while they're still able to, and while they still understand, and while they're still able to make those choices. Mm-hmm. Once they pass that point, it can be difficult. And oftentimes they're in a position where they are going to have to go through the guardianship, conservatorship route. If there's no one in place to be able to do the things that need to be done for them. And, you know, that's not really what any of us want. Mm-hmm. Basically, that guardianship process is in order to give someone else authority to make decisions for you, those decisions rights have to be taken away from you. Mm-hmm. We don't do it easily, which means there are lots of things put in place as a protection for you. So there's a court-appointed evaluator that goes out. And there's an attorney that's appointed for the loved one with dementia. There is a mini trial that goes on where you have to actually show that this is necessary and who is the proper person to be put through that process. Mm-hmm. So if at all possible, it's better to act sooner rather than later so that you don't end up in the sticky
Absolutely.
Situations later.
Well, you know, I'm thinking about the wisdom in everything that you're saying, and it makes me go back to Proverbs, where we get a lot of wise things said to us. And Proverbs 2:7-8 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright, and he is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints." And God has given us sound counsel in folks like you, Patricia, and we're so grateful for you. How can folks how can they reach you? Tell us how they can get in touch with you.
So you can go to www.elderlawatlanta.com. So that's www.elderlawatlanta.com. And my telephone number is 678-609-3230. That's 678-609-3230.
And I mean, wow, half an hour and we managed to get the top three documents. So I know you all will have more questions. Please reach out to us at seniorprovisions.com always to answer your senior care questions. And I'm going to sign us off today with our foundational scripture, because as we're thinking about legal matters, let us not forget that Philippians 4:19 says that my God will supply all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And we are just so grateful to have wise counsel out there. And just know that you are not alone. Don't go this alone. There are resources for you. God bless you all and have a great week.